I support the protection of marriage against activist judges.
This is my New York City, and as far as I'm concerned, the Republicans are not welcome here.
So Mary Cheney is a selfish hedonist.
That goes by definition.
Of course she is.
It's tough. We're conflicted. It's very difficult sometimes to be gay and Republican.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Republicans party on while gay members fret and protesters parry with police, India's sodomy law remains constitutional, and a U.S. congressman hangs up his campaign over phone sex allegations. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 4th, 2004. Dashing the hopes of activists in India, the High Court in New Delhi this week dismissed a constitutional challenge to the nation's colonial-era sodomy law. That law provides for 10 years imprisonment and the possibility of a life sentence. While rarely enforced in cases of consenting adults, opponents argue that the law allows police to harass gay men. Activists' hopes were raised 2 years ago when the two justices sitting on the case warned the Indian government that a defense of the law based solely on public distaste for homosexuality would not be adequate to override individuals' constitutional rights. But after 3 years of proceedings on the petition filed by the NAS Foundation, those justices declared this week that the group had lacked standing to file the petition in the first place. Their decision described the HIV/AIDS charity as not affected by the law, and so not in a position to petition to test its validity. Even legal experts are unclear what the court meant, but some believe the justices were indicating that such public interest petitions should be filed by affected individuals rather than groups representing them. It certainly could be argued that the NAS Foundation itself has been affected by the law. The charity's AIDS prevention work has been hampered by the law more specifically than just its general stigmatizing of gay men. The group filed its petition only after 4 of its outreach workers were arrested in police sweeps of public cruising areas. Charged with conspiracy to commit sodomy and possession of obscene materials, those safe sex educators were held 6 weeks before their release on bail. Previously, the government's brief defending the law had indeed relied heavily on the Indian public's intolerance of homosexuality. It also cited public health and safety and warned that striking down the law would be seen as granting license for all sorts of delinquent behavior.
One of the world's most famous sodomy defendants was freed this week as Malaysia's High Court overturned the conviction of former Deputy Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim. The justices rejected the chief witness's inconsistent testimony as unreliable. Anwar had spent the last 6 years in prison on corruption charges, which reflected an alleged cover-up of sexual misbehavior. He was facing another 5 years behind bars for the remainder of the sodomy sentence. Until his sudden 1998 arrest, Anwar was widely expected to be the successor to long-serving Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, and he enjoyed considerable popularity both within Malaysia and in the international community. Probably due to differences on economic policy, Mahathir came to view Anwar as a threat and abruptly fired him both from office and from their political party. Anwar's arrest and trials sparked huge street demonstrations in Malaysia, despite increasingly violent police measures against the protesters. International observers generally viewed the trials as kangaroo courts on trumped-up charges. Anwar, a husband and father known for his strict religious observance, staunchly denied all the charges against him. It's no coincidence that the success of his final appeal comes only after Mahathir's retirement 6 months ago. Mahathir responded to the High Court action by reaffirming his belief that Anwar was guilty as charged.
An allegation of homosexuality may have ended the career of a politician in the U.S. This week, Republican Congressmember from Virginia, Edward Schrock, announced he's dropping his bid for a third term. Schrock himself did not specify the nature of the allegation that led to his withdrawal, saying only that it would not allow his campaign to focus on the real issues, but it's widely believed that the allegation in question was a mid-August posting on gay activist Michael Rogers' website, blogactive.com. The site offered a recorded message he attributed to Schrock, which was placed several years ago on a phone service for men seeking male sex partners. Schrock is married and a father. He notably supported continuing the U.S. ban against gays and lesbians serving openly in the military, as well as more recently supporting a bill to keep lawsuits for same-gender marriage out of the federal courts.
Meanwhile, New Jersey's Democratic Governor Jim McGreevy, who recently announced both his gay orientation and his upcoming resignation, passed two milestones this week. One was the last chance for him to resign in time for a general election to select his replacement, as many had urged. Instead, McGreevy's sticking to his chosen mid-November date, so the state Senate president, a Democrat, will serve the rest of his gubernatorial term. The other was the last date that a lawsuit could have been filed against him for the sexual harassment alleged by his former appointee, Golan Sepel. It's widely believed that it was the threat of that lawsuit that sparked the coming out of McGreevy, who is married and a father. In the media firestorm that followed McGreevy becoming the United States' first openly gay governor, Sepel, who denies he is gay, fled home to his parents in Israel. A little earlier, he'd announced that he would not file the lawsuit if McGreevy made a public statement taking responsibility for the alleged sexual harassment and apologizing for it. No such apology has been forthcoming, but now Sepel says that McGreevy's resignation adequately represents the acknowledgement he'd sought.
I'm running with a compassionate conservative philosophy that government should help people improve their lives, not try to run their lives.
The U.S. Republican National Convention in New York City this week was hardly the anti-gay hate fest it was in 1992 when the term culture war was popularized. While there were several instances of culture war rhetoric in smaller gatherings, the main stage speakers were careful in their occasional references to preserving marriage from the possibility of gay and lesbian participation. For example, in accepting his party's nomination for another term, President George W. Bush said,
"Because the union of a man and woman deserves an honored place in our society, I support the protection of marriage against activist judges. And I will continue to appoint federal judges who know the difference between personal opinion and the strict interpretation of the law."
The convention delegates agreed to a party platform which not only endorses amending the U.S. Constitution to restrict marriage to one man and one woman, but opposes all marriage-like legal recognition of same-gender couples. The gay and lesbian group Log Cabin Republicans was unable to muster enough opposition to stage a floor fight on the point. Instead, they turned to the media, airing a 30-second TV spot featuring a clip from Republican icon, the late President Ronald Reagan, saying he hoped history would record that I appealed to your best hopes, not your worst fears. The ad poses a choice for the party between inclusivity and a religious right-led exclusivity. There were at least 26 openly gay or lesbian delegates to the convention. That's up from 19 at the 2000 Republican convention, but only about one-tenth the representation at this year's Democratic National Convention.
Vice President Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter, Mary Cheney, and her partner, Heather Poe, sat in the front row of the family's box as her father addressed the convention. But they did not join him on stage when he finished, as did his other daughter, Elizabeth, and her four children. Mary Cheney has a leading role in managing her father's campaign. Dick Cheney had caused a stir shortly before the convention by publicly appearing to disagree with the president's support for the proposed federal marriage amendment.
An 8-year legal struggle for domestic partner benefits at the University of Pittsburgh this week saw victory for its gay and lesbian employees. The controversy drew national attention when the university challenged the gay inclusive civil rights ordinance of the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and again when a student group staged a 2.5-week hunger strike in support of the benefits. The university's opposition to the benefits was primarily motivated by fears that the state legislature would retaliate by cutting its state funds. Those funds are crucial to its operation, although the university is state-affiliated rather than state-owned. In announcing this week that the benefits will go into effect in the coming year, the university did not refer to the legal proceedings at all, citing instead only its concern to be competitive in attracting the best workers.
And finally, U.S. hardware chain Home Depot advised its employees this week that it will extend spousal health insurance benefits to their domestic partners. It's probably no coincidence that the memo was issued later on the same day that the Human Rights Campaign publicly criticized Home Depot and three other Fortune 500 companies, Ecolab, Sprint, and Waste Management. All four have policies against discrimination based on sexual orientation. But although none had offered domestic partner benefits, all four were offering health insurance coverage for their employees' pets.
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 4th, 2004, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho.
Hello, this is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm comedian Bob Smith.
Hi, I'm Kate Quinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
Hi, I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, I'm Scott Thompson.
Hi, I'm David Sedaris.
Hi, this is Jeff Straker.
Hi, this is Chastity Bono, and you're listening to
This Way Out.
This Way Out?
This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
The Republican National Convention convened in the last week of August in the Democratic stronghold of New York City. Days before the GOP delegates even arrived to enthusiastically and unanimously nominate George W. Bush for a second term as President of the United States, anti-Bush protesters and dissidents from within the party took to the streets and the hotels to cast their own votes on the administration's policies. Gay, lesbian, bi, and trans voices were prominent in many of the demonstrations, large and small, including the ACT UP members who stood naked in front of Madison Square Garden with the words "Drop the Debt, Stop AIDS" inscribed on their bodies, convention invaders who disrupted the proceedings several times, and the participants at a kiss-in that ended in a confrontation with police. Two of the kissers who escaped arrest spoke with reporters from Free Speech Radio News.
A bunch of queer folks were walking down the street chanting, and all of a sudden about 20 cops jumped in with six or seven metal barricades, surrounded the whole place and arrested everybody underneath it. Three out of the 40 of us were able to get away. Another six or so were able to get away for a little while until the cops chased them down and threw them to the ground. It's dangerous to even walk on the streets holding signs or chanting protests or taking up anyone they can right now.
So what was the protest about?
It was a protest of gay Americans protesting for freedom of expression and freedom of sexual preference.
Why do you think it was targeted?
It was targeted because it was loud and it was big. There were about 40 or so queer folks with another group of 50 or so that had come together, and they had taken up about a block and a half, and they took out as many as they could in one sweep.
People were marching on the sidewalk, not in the street. We were participating in a queer kiss-in. In addition, there were other individuals, just an ad hoc bunch of protesters, ordinary protesters like everyone around here. All of a sudden, the police say, you have 15 minutes to disperse. And I look around, and there are these cops with their nightsticks out forming this human wall around us. And less than 15 seconds later, they start pulling out this red, like, fishing net and roping everyone in it. And I just barely made it out myself. And as far as I'm concerned, no one was breaking any laws whatsoever. I live here. I mean, this is my New York City. And as far as I'm concerned, the Republicans are not welcome here.
Meanwhile, the GLBT log cabin Republicans were hoping to recreate the big tent concept that had once made the party more moderate friendly. Journalist Rex Walkner was at a log cabin convention eve gathering for queer supportive colleagues.
Gay-friendly Republican officials and gay delegates gathered on the eve of the Republican convention at a get-together the log cabin organizers called their big tent event. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg was there, New York Governor George Pataki, former Massachusetts Governor William Weld, and Senator Arlen Specter. Bloomberg said he stands up for gays regardless of what other Republicans think.
I am a believer that what makes America and New York great is its inclusiveness and its willingness to let everybody be who they are, and I will always stand for that, regardless of whether it happens to be politically correct or not.
A small group of gay protesters, including Ann Northrup, denounced Bloomberg's appearance.
He just talks out of both sides of his mouth. He thinks he's pro-gay. He's deluded. And they think he's pro-gay, and they're deluded.
Log cabin head Patrick Guerrero acknowledged that the 50 or so gay delegates have a tough week ahead of them.
Their party platform that they had to read is insulting to them individually and compromises and marginalizes their families. There was no need for the Republican Party to let this platform get hijacked by the radical right.
The platform opposes not only gay marriage, but domestic partnerships and any recognition of gay couples whatsoever. Log Cabin is so upset about this and about the president's support for the federal marriage amendment that they may spurn Bush altogether.
Let me make clear, Log Cabin's endorsement is in great jeopardy as a result of the FMA endorsement by the president and the decision to let this platform attack gay and lesbian families so directly.
Log Cabin will announce its endorsement after the convention. For Advocate OutQ News, I'm Rex Walkner in New York.
While the hard right wing of the Republican Party was mostly absent from the podium, at least during the primetime television slots, one of the hardest of the right still managed to get in some highly publicized homophobic digs. Alan Keyes is the failed Republican presidential candidate recently imported from out of state to run for an Illinois seat in the U.S. Senate against Democratic convention keynoter Barack Obama. Keyes made national headlines for an interview with Michelangelo Signorilli on Sirius Satellite Radio's OutQ channel.
I'm speaking with Alan Keyes, and you've come to the Republican convention to support President Bush, I presume?
Oh, certainly. I think that President Bush needs to be reelected for the sake of this country's security. He's provided the kind of leadership that we're going to have if we're going to confront and defeat the challenge of terrorism that has already claimed so many American lives.
What did you think of Vice President Cheney last week coming out and saying he doesn't agree with the president on the federal marriage amendment? Seems to be a break with the party. Do you think he's sending a mixed signal?
I don't know. I think he's entitled to his personal convictions, but I think that the party's position is the correct one. We have to stand in defense of the traditional marriage institution in order to preserve its basis in procreation and make sure that we retain an understanding of family life that is rooted in the tradition of procreation, of childbearing and child rearing.
Now,
that is the essence of family life.
Vice President Cheney, of course, has a daughter. She is gay. He used the word gay. He said he has a gay daughter. He seems very proud of his gay daughter. Seems like real family values, and certainly seems like preserving the American family. Is his family un-American?
No, the point of the matter is that marriage as an institution involves procreation. It is in principle impossible for homosexuals to procreate. Therefore, they cannot marry. It's a simple logical syllogism, and one can wish all one might, but pigs don't fly, and we can't change the course of nature.
One can wish that Bob and Liddy Dole would have a child, but that's just impossible. Pigs can't fly.
That is incidental. In point of fact, Bob and Liddy Dole can have children. They incidentally face problems that prevent them from doing so. In principle...
Well, don't homosexuals incidentally face problems too?
No, you don't understand the difference between incident and essence. Homosexuals are essentially incapable of procreation. They cannot mate. They are not made to do so. Therefore, the idea of marriage for two such individuals is an absurdity.
But one or the other in the couple can procreate.
No.
The men can donate their sperm. The women can have babies.
The definition of understanding of marriage is the two become one flesh. In the child, the two transcend their persons and unite together to become a new individual. That can only be done through procreation and conception.
What about a heterosexual couple who cannot bear children and then adopt? They are not becoming one as flesh. They are taking someone else's flesh.
They are adopting the paradigm of family life, but the essence of that family life remains procreation. If we embrace homosexuality as a proper basis for marriage, we are saying that it's possible to have a marriage state that in principle excludes procreation and is based simply on the premise of selfish hedonism. This is unacceptable.
So Mary Cheney is a selfish hedonist, is that it?
Of course she is. That goes by definition. Of course she is.
I don't think Dick Cheney would like to hear that about his daughter.
He may or may not like to hear the truth, but it can be spoken.
But Mr., you really believe that? That Mary Cheney and
by
her daughter
definition,
have a foe?
By definition, a homosexual engages in the exchange of mutual pleasure. I actually object to the notion. Can I finish? I object to the notion that we call it sexual relations because it's nothing of the kind.
What is it?
It is the mutual pursuit of pleasure through the stimulation of the organs intended for procreation. But it has nothing to do with sexuality because they are of the same sex. And with respect to them, the sexual difference does not exist. They are therefore not having sexual relations.
Mr. Keyes, then, how can you support President Bush then? Because if something were to happen to him, the president would be Dick Cheney, who has a daughter who you say is a hedonist and a selfish hedonist, and the president would be supporting that at that point.
It seems to me that we are supporting a ticket that is committed to the kinds of things that are necessary to defend this country, and we are all united in that support, in spite of what may be differences on issues here and there.
Well, thank you for speaking with us.
I'm Rex Walkner in New York. There are around 26 openly gay delegates to this year's convention. They're upset about George W. Bush's support for amending the Constitution to ban gay marriage, the Federal Marriage Amendment, or FMA. They're very upset about the party platform's opposition to civil unions and even to simple domestic partnership benefits. But are they mad enough not to vote for Bush in November? Here's California gay delegate Chris Bowman.
I'm not a one-issue person. And what we saw with the FMA in July in the Senate was the high watermark for the FMA. Every year, it will lose ground. So it's a dead issue from my perspective. They can put it in the platform, you know, they can pretty it up, but it's a dead issue.
D.C. gay delegate Carl Schmid seemed exasperated when asked if he'll vote for Bush.
Now, that's a tough question. I agree with George Bush on 90% plus of his positions. And it's really the gay issue that holds me up, and some of the HIV AIDS issues as well, that I'm disappointed with him. It's tough. We're conflicted. It's very difficult sometimes to be gay and Republican and balance those interests.
D.C. gay delegate Bob Cable said he might not vote at all.
I don't know. I would be inclined to vote for him. I would never vote for Senator Kerry. The question for me is, do I vote for President Bush or not vote at all?
That may be the question for a lot of gay Republicans. Given that an estimated 1 million gays and lesbians voted for Bush in a very close election in 2000, the question probably should be of concern to the Bush campaign as well. Gay Republicans were already mad at George Bush before his speech, and he did nothing to improve his standing as he accepted his party's nomination. First, he got in a plug for the constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage.
Because the union of a man and woman deserves an honored place in our society, I support the protection of marriage against activist judges.
The cheers after that remark lasted 19 seconds. Next, Bush took a swipe at so-called activist judges who favor gay marriage.
And I will continue to appoint federal judges who know the difference between personal opinion and the strict interpretation of the law.
Then the president blasted Senator John Kerry for voting against DOMA.
If you voted against the Bipartisan Defense of Marriage Act, which President Clinton signed, you are not the candidate of conservative values.
The only other gay content the final night was actually an absence of content. Mary Cheney was disappeared, just as she had been the previous night when her father, Vice President Cheney, gave his speech. Mary's sister, her sister's husband, and their four kids appeared on stage with Dick and Lynn Cheney both nights, but not Mary. Activist John Aravosis, who runs DearMary.com, was not surprised.
I make of it that Mary is shoved back in the closet as viciously and strongly as the Cheney family could and the GOP could. I would be shocked if the Bush-Cheney campaign told Mary that she and Heather were absolutely A-OK on stage. Mary's life partner that wears a gold wedding band along with Mary? There's no way.
All in all, this year's convention was a downer for gay Republicans. Bush wants to ban gay marriage in the Constitution. The Republican platform opposes civil unions and even domestic partner benefits. And the GOP even had an ex-gay gospel singer perform in prime time before Bush spoke.
Teach your children well.
The Log Cabin Republicans are strongly hinting that they're not going to endorse Bush, and some gay delegates we spoke to on the convention floor said they don't think they'll even vote for him in November. For Advocate Out Q News, I'm Rex Walkner in New York.
The
The Defense of Marriage Act does two things. First, it provides that no state shall be required to give effect to a law of any other state with respect to a same-sex marriage. Second, it defines the words marriage and spouse for the purposes of federal law. Quote, George W. Bush, October 3rd, 2003. I, George W. Bush, President, by virtue and authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws, do hereby proclaim the week of October 12th through 18th, 2003 as Marriage Protection Week. Quote, Human Rights Campaign. The Constitution has historically served to expand liberty and equality by abolishing slavery and giving women the right to vote. This amendment would be the first to reinstate discrimination into our Constitution. The date today is 2004, but we're rolling back the old days on the Senate floor. I can't afford to be apathetic anymore. I write to my governor. Dear Mr. Perdue, this bill is like a time travel machine. You can sign it and land in the past or oppose it and find the future. And with this, the sutures holding my complacency are torn and I become a soldier in this religious war. Not only is it biblical, but it's the only way we can protect our country. The only way we can protect our country, says Republican Senator Don Cheeks. The argument is weak to the sane man, stupid to the layman, and shackling in America, home of the free man. We're supposed to separate church and state in this great land, but in court we swear truth. The Bible's in our right hand. Man or woman, Bush demands we must defend the sanctity of marriage and children. Revision of the Constitution, preservation of the foundations of our Republican institutions. They've got no delusions about religious infusions. They're taking control of my future like they're taking communion. It's faggot hunt season. It's the gay rights crucifixion. My views are in confliction, making fire with verbal friction. I cannot believe what I'm reading is nonfiction. Listen, people, it's not even separate but equal. Consider this the all-new Jim Crow, the sequel. It's a blatant discrimination against a whole mess of people. It's a constitutional amendment that comes straight from the steeple. And before we get sent to the back of the bus, we must realize we are inevitably responsible for us. Save yourself or remain unsaved. Push yourself or remain unscathed. Fight for your rights or remain enslaved. Pave your own road. Carry your own load. Do more research when you run out of ammo. Gather your friends and take it to the Capitol. Raise picket signs like you're raising arms. Raising issues, sounding alarms. Disarm and disallow and disrobe those homophobes. Disagree, disobey. It's already disarray. Anyways, disapprove, disbelieve, find discomfort and discrimination. Just don't disappear, because government won't listen if they've got nothing to hear.
From their album Rhapsody in Tea, the Athens Boys Choir performed DOMA, Discrimination Obscures My America, edited for radio by J.D. Doyle. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, and Rex Walkner contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle, to Free Speech Radio News, and to Michelangelo Signorilli and John McMullen of Sirius Satellite Radio's OutQ. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime, online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Only you can keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs in the bargain, too. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks very much for listening on Free Radio San Diego, San Diego, California, to ECR Eden, New South Wales, KAOS Olympia, Washington, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.